All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Deep Dive. You know we love to go deep on all sorts of digital marketing goodness, and today's topic is no exception, thanks to a great source you sent our way.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. Multi-site can be a real game changer for certain projects, but there's definitely some nuances to it.
Right, so we're talking WordPress multi-site, which for anyone who might not be super familiar, basically lets you manage a whole network of websites all from one WordPress dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds amazing in theory, right?
Oh yeah, huge potential for efficiency there.
But like you said, nuances. And the piece you sent over, it's by Chris Bradley over at Double Dome Digital Marketing, really digs into one of the trickier aspects of multi-site, customizing themes and plugins. Because on the one hand, you want that consistency across all your sites, but you also need some flexibility for individual sites to stand out, right?
Absolutely. It's finding that balance, that's the real challenge.
Okay, so let's dive in. Right off the bat, Bradley emphasizes choosing multi-site compatible themes and plugins right from the get-go. It seems pretty obvious, but can you break down why that's so critical? What's the risk if you don't start with the right building blocks, so to speak?
You know, it's like, imagine you're putting together a really elaborate Lego structure.
Yeah.
You've got all these different pieces. Some are standard, some are unique, but they're all designed to fit together seamlessly.
Right, right.
Now, try swapping out some of those Legos for, say, wooden blocks.
Hmm.
You might be able to make it work temporarily, kind of force them together, but it's not going to be structurally sound. It's going to be unstable. And eventually the whole thing could just crumble, right?
Yeah, that visual really drives the point home. So in multi-site terms, those incompatible themes and plugins, they might install, but they're not designed to work within that interconnected network environment. And that can lead to all sorts of problems.
Exactly. You could end up with broken functionality across sites, conflicts between plugins, even security vulnerabilities. And the more sites you have in your network, the bigger the potential mess becomes.
Okay, so lesson one, due diligence up front. Really check that those themes and plugins explicitly state multi-site compatibility.
Can't stress that enough. A little research up front saves you a whole lot of headaches later.
Now, once you've got that solid foundation, you've got your multi-site friendly components in place, the article moves on to network-wide theme control. And this is where things get really interesting because it lets you essentially set a design template that applies to all your sites simultaneously.
Right, and for anyone managing a network of sites, especially if you're aiming for brand consistency, it's a massive time saver. You can control things like the overall layout, typography, color schemes, even certain functional elements, all from a central dashboard. It's like having a master control panel for the look and feel of your entire online presence.
Yeah, I can see how that would be super appealing for like businesses with multiple departments, each with their own site, or agencies managing sites for various clients, things like that. You get that unified brand experience without having to manually replicate changes across dozens of individual sites.
Exactly. It streamlines the whole process and helps ensure that all your sites project a cohesive brand image.
But of course, there's always a but. What about those cases where individual sites need some unique elements? You don't want to completely stifle creativity or the ability to cater to specific site needs, right?
Right. And this is where multi-site really shines because it offers this great balance between global control and local customization. So while you can enforce a consistent foundation across the network, you can also allow individual site administrators to tweak certain aspects of their theme.
So it's kind of like you're providing the blueprint, the basic structure, but each site can add its own personal touches within those defined parameters.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. They might change the logo to reflect a specific sub-brand, use slightly different color accents, or even adjust the layout to better suit their content. It's all about striking that balance,
mm-hmm.
maintaining overall brand consistency while still allowing individual sites to express the unique personality.
Okay, I'm really starting to grasp the power and flexibility here. Now let's switch gears and talk about plugins, which in a multi-site environment can be a whole other level of complexity. The article talks about this choice you have, network-wide activation versus per-site activation. What factors come into play when you're deciding which route to go?
Yeah, plugins are where things can get a bit tricky. I think the temptation is to go for that network-wide activation whenever possible.
True. I mean, less clicking around, right? One and done.
Exactly. And for certain plugins, it makes perfect sense. Think about a security plugin designed to protect all your sites, or maybe a network-wide backup solution. Those are things you probably want active across the board.
Makes sense.
But here's the catch, and this is something Bradley really stresses. Not all plugins are built to gracefully handle network-wide activation in a multi-site setup. Some plugins just aren't designed to interact with each other that way across multiple sites, and you could end up with unintended consequences.
Okay, so it's not just about saving time. You've really got to consider whether that plugin is truly compatible with that network-level activation.
Right. You could introduce conflicts between sites, some sites might start behaving erratically, and you might not even realize what the root cause is. So yeah, a lot of caution is needed there.
So network activation, when it makes sense, but always, always double check that compatibility first.
Absolutely. Test, test, test. Which actually brings us to another important point the article highlights. Managing plugin updates in a multi-site environment.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. You could potentially have dozens of plugins across all these sites and keeping them all up to date. That sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It can be if you don't have a solid system in place. Luckily, the multi-site dashboard lets you update plugins across the entire network from one central location.
Oh, okay, so at least you're not jumping between individual sites to update everything.
No, you've got that centralized control, which is great, but, and this is the big caveat, you've always got to be mindful of the potential ripple effects of updates in a multi-site context.
Because an update that works fine on one site could cause problems on another site within the network.
Exactly. Maybe the update introduces a conflict with a specific theme on one site, or maybe it interacts badly with another plugin that's active on a different site, and suddenly you've got multiple sites experiencing issues all because of one seemingly harmless update.
Yikes, that sounds stressful. Yeah. And the article strongly recommends using a staging environment to test updates before pushing them live. I'm guessing that's even more crucial in a multi-site setup.
Oh, absolutely. A staging environment is like your safety net. It's a separate copy of your live network where you can test all sorts of changes without affecting your actual websites.
So you can install that plugin update, see if anything breaks, and if it does, you can troubleshoot it all in that safe space before it ever touches your live sites.
Precisely. And with multi-site, where one issue can potentially snowball and impact multiple sites, that testing phase becomes even more critical. It's all about mitigating risk and ensuring a smooth user experience across your entire network.
Makes total sense. All right, let's move on to another aspect of control, and that's user roles and permissions. The article touches on how important it is to manage those carefully, especially when it comes to theme and plugin customization. Can you explain why that's so important in a multi-site context?
Yeah, think of it this way. You've got this complex interconnected system, and you don't want just anyone tinkering under the hood, right?
Right.
Multi-site gives you really granular control over what different users can do within the network. So when it comes to theme and plugin customization, you want to limit those capabilities to users who have the knowledge and understanding to make changes safely and effectively.
So it's not about being a control freak. It's about protecting the integrity of the network and preventing potentially disastrous accidental changes.
Exactly. You don't want someone accidentally breaking a site's design or functionality because they clicked the wrong button. By assigning appropriate user roles and permissions, you're creating safeguards against those kinds of mistakes and ensuring a more stable and consistent experience for everyone.
Okay, that's a really important point. Now, the article also mentions that there are limitations to network-level customization, and this ties into the need for clear communication with individual site owners. Can you expand on those limitations and why that communication is so key?
It all boils down to the fact that any customization you apply at the network level affects all sites globally.
Which, as we've discussed, can be a huge time saver for achieving brand consistency.
Exactly. But the flip side is that individual site owners might find themselves limited in terms of how much control they have over certain aspects of their site, even if they have a legitimate reason for needing to make a change.
So they might bump up against these global settings and not be able to customize something, even if it makes sense for their particular site.
Right, and that's where clear communication comes in. It's crucial to set expectations up front and explain to site owners what they can and cannot customize within the framework of the network.
So they understand the boundaries and don't feel like their creativity is being stifled unnecessarily.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance, again, between network-wide consistency and allowing for individual site expression, and communication is key to making that work smoothly.
Makes sense. And finally, the article circles back to something we touched on earlier, but it bears repeating. The importance of regular backups and testing, especially in a multi-site environment.
Couldn't agree more. It's like the golden rule of multi-site management.
Because if something goes wrong, it has the potential to affect so many sites at once.
Exactly. It's a much bigger blast radius. So those backups, they become your insurance policy. If a plugin update goes haywire, if a theme customization breaks something, if you accidentally make a wrong setting, you can restore your entire network to a previous stable state and breathe a sigh of relief.
Disaster averted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the testing, as we talked about with plugin updates, it's equally crucial. You need to catch those potential issues in a staging environment before they ever have a chance to wreak havoc on your live sites.
So to sum it all up, managing themes and plugins in WordPress multi-site, it's not rocket science, but it does require a strategic approach. You've got to start with those compatible components. Think carefully about when to use network-wide control versus allowing for individual site flexibility. Be super meticulous about plugin management and updates, and always, always prioritize testing and backups.
That's a great summary. It's about understanding the power of multi-site, but also respecting its complexities and taking the necessary precautions to avoid potential pitfalls.
Well said. Now, thinking about all of this and that balance between global control and local customization that keeps coming up, I'm curious. In your experience, what are some scenarios where that super tight network-wide control is the best way to go? And conversely, when does it make more sense to give individual sites more freedom? Like, what are some real-world examples that come to mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer, like most things in multi-site, isn't always black and white. It really depends on the specific goals and structure of the network. So let's start with scenarios where that tight centralized control is often the best route. One example that comes to mind is educational institutions.
Oh, yeah, like a university with separate sites for each department or college.
Right. In those cases, maintaining a consistent brand identity is paramount. You want all those sites to visually align with the university's branding, and you probably want some level of uniformity in terms of functionality.
Sure, things like course registration or event calendars, you'd want those to work the same way across all the sites.
Exactly. So in that scenario, a tightly controlled network-wide approach makes a lot of sense. You can enforce those brand standards and core functionalities while still allowing individual departments or colleges to add their own unique content and tailor their sites to their specific needs within those predefined parameters.
Okay, that makes sense. What about an example where a more flexible, decentralized approach might be a better fit?
One scenario that comes to mind is a network of e-commerce stores. Let's say you have a company that owns multiple online shops, each selling different types of products.
Okay, so each store needs to have its own distinct look and feel to match the product line, and they probably need some unique functionalities related to their specific products.
Exactly. In that case, giving individual store owners more control over their site's design and functionality makes sense. They might need different layouts, different payment gateways, different shipping options, all sorts of things that might not be applicable to the other stores in the network.
So in that case, you'd still have that underlying multi-site infrastructure, but you'd give up some of that network-wide control to allow for more individual site customization.
Right. And it's all about striking that right balance. Sometimes it's heavily skewed towards network-wide control. Sometimes it leans more towards individual site autonomy. But understanding the different factors at play and the different scenarios where each approach might be more advantageous is crucial for successfully managing a multi-site network.
That's a fantastic insight. It really highlights the fact that there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to multi-site customization, and that's what makes it so fascinating.
Absolutely. It's a powerful tool with a lot of potential, but it definitely requires careful planning, thoughtful execution, and ongoing communication to really harness its benefits effectively.
Great stuff. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Multi-site is powerful, but it's not magic. It takes planning and maybe a little bit of bravery. But if you follow the advice in the article and heed the warnings, it can be an amazing tool to have in your digital marketing arsenal.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We'll be back next time with another deep dive into the world of digital marketing.
See you then.
See you then.